All right, I'm going to try something. I have no idea if this is going to work. I used to do it at my last church. I preached every Sunday night. And we would do this every once in a while. And I think for some folks it's really meaningful. Because I think, you know, John's talking about us being the body of Christ, loving each other, carrying each other's burdens. And part of that is we got to pray for each other. We got to pray for each other. And so here's what I'm going to attempt to do tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and there's just some things on your heart. And that just reminds me of something. You know, I just really casually shared last week before I started. I just said, my heart's just really heavy tonight. And I said I didn't know why, and, you know, and probably some of it came to light, some of it didn't. But, like, somebody came and prayed for me at the altar. I got several emails from people, and one of the emails I even got is somebody just wrote and said, you know, sometimes I think we forget to pray for our pastors, but you know what I thought? Sometimes I forget that I need prayer, you know? And so, first of all, I just want to thank you, because, man, I just felt kind of overwhelmed with love and care for me, and, man, that just means a ton. And words fall short of expressing my thankfulness for you all. What we used to do at my last church is I would just every once in a while, not every Sunday night, I would just say, you know, if you're here tonight and you brought some burdens, there's some things going on in your life and they've just been kind of tough. What I would do is I'd say, if you're here tonight and you just would love just to be prayed for, I'm just going to ask you to stand up. Well, like, you know, the first 3 months I did it, nobody would stand. And I would just always say, well, I'm standing, so let's pray. But then folks would just stand. Now, if you stand up, you don't have to tell us what's going on. I won't bring the mic to you and say, what's wrong? We won't do that to you. But maybe you just want to stand, and I'm not going to have, you know, I won't send people to you, but you can just stand, and then I'm just going to kind of lead some prayer. Wow, people standing already. So if that's just you tonight, then, man, I'd love to be prayed for. Wow. All right, can somebody get me a mic? Okay, all right, yeah, it's right there. All right, man, that's awesome. Oh, so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to just join our hearts together in prayer, okay? So we're going to just pray together. Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there's not a detail in my life that you don't care about, that you care about every part of our lives. And I thank you for every person that's standing who's just saying, man, there's just something I'm going through, something that's tough, something I'm dealing with, just a burden I'm carrying. Probably some are standing on behalf of somebody that they love. Father, I don't know what the needs are. I don't know what every situation is, but Lord, I know that you do. And I pray over every person, and together we pray over every person who's just standing up right now saying, you know, I just need prayer tonight. And I pray for them. And I pray, Father, that you meet them at the point of their greatest need. And I pray some are standing because they're wanting answers. God, I pray you give answers. And where you're not giving answers, I pray you give peace. And some are just standing because of somebody they love that's hurting. Father, I pray you would reach to their hearts. I pray there'd be testimonies that even tonight, people that aren't here who are being prayed for would say, you know, I felt something Wednesday night. I don't know what it was, but Lord, we'll know that it's you. So for every person that's standing, Lord, I pray that you would just do what only you can do. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to just kind of, you may be seated. Thank you. I just want to kind of jump into the text tonight and just really want us to look at this. I told you guys last week that there's a lot of repetition in this book, 1 John. There are a lot of things that are going on, and John is staying on a theme, and the whole theme is love. That God is love, that we're to love one another. And I want to share from some of this, and I want to share some things with you. And so in 1 John, we're beginning in chapter 4 tonight. It starts off and says this: dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Now, whenever I read stuff like that, it can be a little spooky. Well, what's that mean? Every spirit. And I think the Bible teaches that there are a lot of spirits that are out there. And there are a lot of, you know, the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the ways it does that is through these spirits that are out there. And John starts off in chapter 4 and he says, do not believe every spirit. He says this, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so we've got to test everything, because you're going to hear a lot of things. A lot of things are out there. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would take me to the barber and drop me off to get a haircut. And this guy that cut my hair, he was wild. I still can't believe my parents left me with this guy. And every time he cut my hair, he'd be cutting my hair. And I'm like, you know, like 7 years old. And he's like, man, this is really weird. As he's cutting my hair. And I'm like, what? He's like, I mean, you don't even need a haircut. It's weird. He said, I bet your parents are moving while you're here. And he'd always tell me stuff like that. I bet your parents are packing up a van and they're gone. He goes, I don't even know if I got enough food for you. And I'm like, don't believe everything that you hear. Don't believe it. And you know what? Don't believe every good thing that you hear. You know, I mean, you know, when somebody looks at you and says, man, your hair looks great. Don't believe that every time, you know, because sometimes it came out before they could stop it. Your hair looks great. Don't believe everything. Don't believe everything. And I'm going to actually bring up some specific situations tonight. And I want to tell you, too, because some of these things I'm going to talk about tonight may be difficult, or you may disagree with even. And let me ask you to do this. At my last church, I used to have people just stand up and say stuff. Let's not do that. Just email me, ward@hillview.com, and I'll do my best to get back to you with some responses. But I had a call, right? There you go. And they're always ready with the email address. I had a call this week from a young lady at Western who was working on a paper, and she wanted to talk to pastors from different denominations. And so she called our church and she goes, now I know you guys are non-denominational, so I want to talk where you guys are coming from. And then I had to tell her, I said, well, you know, we're not non-denominational. And she goes, oh, you're not? Well, what are you? I said, we're Southern Baptist. If you have any background in Southern Baptist, you're laughing right now. Because you know, this is just not like a Southern Baptist church. Now, honestly, in theology it is. In methodology, we're a lot different. And so I was just kind of explaining to her, well, I just want you to know we're Southern Baptist. I mean, just for the sake of your paper, so you don't say that we're this. So anyway, we get to talking. She goes, I have two questions that I want to ask you. The first question I want to ask you is, what do you believe it takes for somebody to get to heaven? I said, okay. And she said, and the second question is, what happens if somebody commits suicide? Can they still get to heaven? And she asked this question. So I answer the first question, but I find in the second answer there's some emotion. And then kind of talks about some stories in her life. And I've got some stories like that in my life. And we talk because you hear a lot of things. And John is saying there's a lot out there. Don't believe everything you hear. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And so I told her, I said, well, what we believe about going to heaven is we believe the only way to heaven is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And she goes, and she said, well, can you explain that? I mean, what's that mean? And then honestly, I think about that, and you know, there does need to be some clarification. If you've been in church a bunch, that's great. It's a good answer. If you haven't been in church, you're like, okay, I have a personal relationship with you. Where is he? And how do I set up an appointment with Jesus so I can have a personal relationship with Jesus? I mean, really, I mean, if you haven't grown up in church or you haven't been a part of this, I mean, that's just, the phraseology is different. And I said, well, what that means is this, is one, we believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And we believe that he died on the cross and he rose again 3 days later. And his death on the cross is the only hope we have to be saved. And so we invite Christ to come into our lives and we ask him to forgive us of our sin. And I explained that the Bible says we've all sinned, every one of us. Raise your hand if you've sinned. And so you look around. So if you're a guest and you're like, my sins are really bad, well, you just don't know the rest of us. You know, your sins may be mild, especially. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And I said, and so we believe that's the only hope that we have. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And then we get to the second question about what happens to somebody who takes their own life. And there's a very common teaching that if you take your own life, that you cannot go to heaven. It's a very common teaching. I would say probably 65 to 70% of the population believe that. And so I shared that I don't believe that the way you die determines where you go. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. For salvation, and I want to explain this. Some of you have heard me explain this a bunch, but it's worth repeating. I've shared with you that my belief that salvation is from God. And I've told you before, I don't believe that me and God partner together to save me. Because God doesn't need my help in saving me. Does everybody understand that? I add nothing to that equation. I don't have something that God doesn't have, but when we come together, it's complete. It doesn't work. God saves. The Bible says that salvation is the gift of God. It's not by works, so that nobody can boast. So none of us can say, well, I'm a Christian and brag about it because you didn't have anything to do with it. God saved you. He alone forgave your sin. And so if you believe that, and you believe salvation is from God, then kind of the way I said it this past Sunday is I said, when I got saved on God's terms and conditions. Everybody understand terms and conditions? You know, if you have a credit card, you understand terms and conditions. And so when you get a credit card, it's not on your terms and conditions. Amen? All right, and if you haven't learned that yet, you just haven't got the first bill yet. All right, and they'll send it to you. Well, when I got saved, it was on God's terms and conditions. It wasn't on mine. And I had no bargaining power in my being saved. So I couldn't tell God, well, God, I'll be saved, but here's a few things that I need. It doesn't work like that. The Bible says that we die to ourselves. The Bible says we don't even belong to ourselves anymore because we belong to Him when you're saved. And so God, here are some of God's terms and conditions when it came to saving us. He said, one, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I think I said this last Wednesday that somebody always takes issue with that. Because there's a lot of people that believe you can lose your salvation. The only way you could lose your salvation is if you had something to do with it. But it's God's. God saved you on His terms and conditions. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Everybody remember that? That was said? And so salvation is from God. And so I don't believe I can lose my salvation because I don't think I'm bigger than God is. So here's the deal. So I told this young lady from Western, I said, so the way I die doesn't determine anything about my salvation. Because I'm saved. Here's another one of God's terms and conditions. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Once you're a believer, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Guess what that means? I can't even separate myself. I'm saying this because John is starting off, and there's a lot of repetition. I know I said some of this Sunday, I've said some of this last Wednesday, but he's saying, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. You see, if you believe you can lose your salvation, then you believe that God's love is conditional. If you believe you can lose your salvation, then you believe that you had something to do with it, that you could take away what God said. And I don't believe that. I don't believe you're bigger than God. I was saved on His terms and conditions. Nothing will separate me from the love of God, not even myself. I can't separate myself from the love of God. So I don't believe that the method of death determines what happens in salvation because God has done that. The Bible talks about being sealed. Do you know what that means? That it's a done deal. It's a done deal. What God has done, it's done. What He accomplished, it is accomplished. And I'll tell you why I'm spending a little time on that tonight, because it is so important that we understand how incredible salvation is. It's from God. It's from God. And John says, so don't believe everything you hear, but test it. So how do you test the things you hear? Well, you've got to be in God's Word. And you've got to be reading God's Word. And you know what God does every time? You're going to come right along and God's going to show you something that you've been seeking out. God's going to give you an answer to questions that you had, but you've got to be in His Word. Listen, there's some great preachers out there. Test everything they say.
I hope you don't leave Wednesday nights or Sunday morning saying, well, Pastor Steve said or Pastor Jamie said. I hope you test what is said and hope and find that it matches up with God's word. He says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, if you remember, I shared sometime in the beginning of this that one of the teachings going around was docetism. And docetism is the belief that all flesh is evil. And you maybe that reminded you a little bit about it, because if you believe all flesh is evil, then you can't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. Because all flesh is evil. So the Docetists believed that Jesus was never human. He was only divine. And if you read your Bible, it doesn't take long to see that that was a false teaching. That that wasn't true. And I'll tell you a few things about this. He says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. And so there were people saying that Jesus wasn't human. Well, if you don't believe Jesus was human, then there was no need for a cross and a resurrection. Because you're dealing with spirit, not with flesh. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness for sin. So if Jesus wasn't flesh, there wasn't blood, and according to the Bible, we can't be forgiven. And so it's a false teaching, and I'll use the word, it's a heresy. Because it's not true. It goes against Scripture. It goes against what was taught. It goes against what Jesus even said about himself. And so it's very important. It's very important that we believe this really traditional basic doctrine that Jesus came in the flesh. And we say it this way, that he was 100% man and 100% God. Now, I know mathematically that makes no sense, but it was true of Jesus. He was completely divine, and that's what gave his death power, because he was the Son of God. But he was completely human. Do you know why it was important that Jesus was human? Because somebody's blood had to be shed. Because somebody had to go to that cross. It says, let me read this to you. In Romans chapter 5, 18 and 19, it says, consequently, just as a result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And so so we're looking back to what the Bible calls the first man. Who is the first man? Who was the first man? Adam. Okay? And then the Bible makes reference to this second Adam, or this second man, who was Jesus Christ. Because here was the deal. Adam is in the garden. And he has every opportunity to be obedient to Jesus. And guess what we know about Adam? That his wife failed. My wife's not here tonight, so I can say that. Adam sinned. Adam blew it. Adam didn't just blow it for Adam. Adam blew it for all of us. And what it says in Romans, Paul says that because of the disobedience of one, we were all made sinners. And so there's a curse that is handed down that every one of us are now guilty. And so I've heard people say, well, dang that, Adam. Well, I couldn't say that long, because it didn't take long for me to pick up the shovel and start digging my own ditch. And so I couldn't blame Adam anymore, because this was the curse that was been handed down, that now we're in need of a Savior. Well, why this is important is because just as through the disobedience of Adam we were sinners, the Bible says through the obedience of Jesus we can be made righteous, because he was fully human. And he came to the earth. He walked the earth. My son always asked me, Dad, do you think he was in Bowling Green? I don't think so. But it's possible. I mean, he was Jesus and he was man and God. So, you know, he could have teleported to Bowling Green. I don't know. You know, my son has all these questions, you know. But he was human. And his death
made him the ultimate sacrifice. It was through what he did on the cross that you and I could be forgiven. Because through Adam, I am made guilty, and through Jesus, I am not guilty. Because of what he has done on the cross. And I just want to emphasize, it is very important. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. So, guess what? Because of sin, you and I are in need of a mediator. We're in need of somebody who will stand in the gap between us and God and plead our case. Because we can't plead it on our own. And here's the truth of our situation, that we are guilty. We are guilty. And a lot of people want to take issue with that. Well, what I've done is not that bad. That's guilty. We're coming back from vacation. Me and my wife are just talking. It's about midnight. And all of a sudden, I notice these blue lights behind me. And I'm like, that's odd. Because he could go around me. I'm only in one lane. What's going on? And my wife's like, he's pulling you over, idiot. Oh. So I pull over, and he, of course, as I'm driving and he's behind me, my reflex didn't kick in to, you know, let off the gas. And I looked at the speedometer. I was like, So he comes to the side of the car and he says, sir, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I know why. And he goes, do you know what the speed limit is here in Illinois? I said, it's probably 65. He said, yes. He said, do you know how fast you were going? I was going faster than 65. And I said, and I just told him, I said, man, I'm sorry. It looked like about 82 when I looked down. He said, took my stuff, goes back to the cruiser and comes back. And he's got this big ticket thing, and he wants me to sign it, and I'm signing it. And he says, now, sir, what you're signing is a warning. I just want you to slow down. That never happened before. And it was so great, because I was getting reamed out for getting a ticket, and then I'm just going down the road after that going, warning, warning, no ticket, warning. She's like, you are so lucky. I said, I'm a godly man, honey. But I'm guilty. If I'd been going 66 miles an hour, I'd be guilty of speeding. It doesn't matter if you're going 100 or if you're going 66. You are guilty. So you can't look at your sin and say, well, this is really just 66. It doesn't matter. You're guilty. And so what Paul's writing to Timothy is, we need a mediator. We need somebody who will stand up on our behalf, on our account, who will make us right before God. And that's Jesus. He's the mediator. So people want to take issue all the time. Well, I think you can get to heaven other ways. Well, good luck. I would not bank eternity on getting to heaven on my own. I wouldn't take that chance. I told somebody the other day, because every time I've got a chance, I screw it up. I've seen me do it. Every time. And so my eternity is not banked on me. It's banked on Jesus, who the Bible says is our mediator. And that's why this teaching of the humanity of Jesus is so important. And the Docetists want to say that he wasn't human. But if he wasn't human, then his blood couldn't have been shed, and our sin couldn't be forgiven, and he wouldn't be a mediator, and he couldn't be a substitute for our sin. And so it's very important. It's very important that we believe in the humanity of Jesus. And I'm not going to spend much time on this, but obviously another very basic teaching is we believe in the divinity of Jesus. And I've told you before, and I always get emails when I say this, so, and I'll say it again, feel free to email me. Jesus wasn't just the Son of God. Jesus was God himself. You see, that's why he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Bible says that he became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And the Greek word for dwelling means that he pitched his tents with us, and he became like us. And so we believe in the humanity of Jesus, and we believe in the divinity of Jesus. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. And so we test the spirits. We test the things that we hear. There's a great song by Casting Crowns called The Voice of Truth. What a great song. Because I want to hear the voice of truth. Because when the world's telling me that my situation is hopeless, when the world is telling me that I've screwed up beyond repair, I can hear the voice of truth saying there's redemption, there's forgiveness, that I haven't passed the point of no return, that there is a God who cares, there is a God who loves us, there is a God who's invested in us because He has saved us. And there's one mediator, the man Jesus Christ. So I test those things that I hear. And I test those things that I hear preachers say. Because just because somebody calls himself a preacher, I'm going to be skeptical. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be discerning. I want to hear what they have to say. And so he says, how do you recognize the spirit of the Antichrist? Because they refuse to believe that Jesus was human. That's what John is teaching right here in chapter 4. That's what he wants us to understand. He's telling the church there, so you're going to hear all that. Don't believe that. He's saying this. I love, this is how I'm going to end tonight, that Jesus is sufficient. That Jesus, now I really want you to hear this because this is going to sound very trite, but it's true, that Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. I was reading a post from somebody who had lost a child. And I can't imagine, and I won't pretend to be able to imagine what it would be like to lose a child. And what this person wrote is that they really learned that Jesus is all they need. Because when you lose somebody that you love, guess what? Your life has to go on. And your life can go on. I'm sure with incredible pain, with an incredible feeling of loss, but we can go on. I have found that with Jesus, there's been no tragedy, no crisis that I've been unable to face and to get through because of Him. I would say, if you're here tonight and you're married, I don't know how you stay married without Jesus. Because my wife's already told me she'd have been gone a long time ago if it hadn't been for Jesus. But He's there. And I have found that with Him, there's nothing that I can't get through. That anything I face, I can face it with this bold assurance that I will get through it because of Jesus. And so I will tell you that He is all that you need. And maybe, you know, and maybe you could be thankful tonight to say, gosh, I know that's probably true, but I can't imagine. And maybe you haven't faced anything like that that would make that such a glaring truth in your life. But you know what I know? There's a lot of you here tonight, and you know that. Because you have walked through that journey. You've gone through that valley, and He was there, and He was all that you needed. And He got you through it. This is why I believe so passionately that we should tell people about Jesus. The girl from Western, when she said, well, tell me how you know that Jesus, you know, is the only way to heaven. Tell me what you think about that. And I said, well, I'll tell you two things. And I said, the first, and I quoted some verses in the Bible, some things that Jesus said about Himself. And I said, and the second thing is this. My life has never been the same since Jesus has come into my life. It's never been the same. What I couldn't get through, I can get through. What I couldn't face, now I can face. What I didn't have the strength to do, now I have the strength to do. What I didn't have the strength not to do, now I have the strength not to do. And I said, and I know it's real, and nobody can debate that with me. I know what Jesus has done in my life is real. And she said this. She said, I've talked to 10 pastors, and you're the first one that has said that. And I said, well, you know, it's because I am such a sinner that I know that. because God has been so good. And so the teaching tonight, what John really wants us to understand is that Jesus is sufficient. He is all that you need. And listen, everybody look at me. You don't need Jesus and something else. You just need Jesus. And He'll bring beautiful things into your life. He'll bring some awesome things into your life. He'll get you through some really tough things, but He's all that you need. You know how encouraging that is? Like, I've got something and it's the only thing that you need. You don't need anything else. You just need this. And people would say, well, what is that? And I'd say, Jesus. And you know what? They're like, I don't know about that. You know why they don't know about that? Because of the way a lot of us are living our lives. Because we're not living our lives like Jesus is all that we need. And I want to encourage you to really grasp that and to embrace that, that He is all that we need. You see, I believe that Jesus was here. That He walked the earth. I believe that. And I believe that He was the Son of God. And I believe He died on the cross. And I believe that He rose again. And no matter what people say, and no matter what evidence they supposedly dig up, it doesn't matter to me. Because I know that Jesus has made this incredible change in my life. And nobody here can debate that with me. Nobody. Because I know what He's done in my life. And I'll tell you this. And I might have an advantage that some of you don't. But I'm a pastor. And I've seen what God has done in people's lives. Listen, I've seen people that were just mean people. I might even say evil people. And their lives have changed. Like, here's a guy, here goes our church, I won't say who it is, but man, I just heard all kinds of stories about this guy. I mean, a lot of stories about this guy. And one day I'm supposed to serve communion, and the person I was going to serve with wasn't there, and I really wasn't paying much attention. His leader said, hey, can you serve communion with me? And it was that guy. And I was like, well, you know how, like, when we do communion here, when you take the bread, somebody says, this is the body of Christ broken for you, right? We're supposed to say that. If you serve communion, you're supposed to say that. And whoever holds the cup, when you dip the bread in, they say, this is the blood of Jesus poured out for you. Well, he couldn't say anything because he was crying so hard. So I'm like, this is the body of Jesus broken. This is the blood of Jesus broken. This is the body. This is the blood of Jesus. Because the guy's crying. I'm going to tell you. And I've got to talk to that guy a bunch. Like, all those stories I've heard that he tells me are true, he is not that person anymore. And only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. So, we're going to have a time of altar. And I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. And if you're here tonight, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe not that in one sitting, wow, I just know I just need Jesus. But maybe you just want to even come and pray. Or maybe you want to just talk about that. There's some pastors here, and we'd love to talk to you and to pray with you about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And somebody asked me one time, they said, do you really believe this? And I said, do you think I'd be doing this if I didn't? It's unbelievable what Jesus has done. And I'll end by saying it's unbelievable what He wants to do. What He wants to do in your life. If Jesus was willing to mediate between you and God, don't you think that means He has some incredible things for your life? Let me pray with you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I don't want anybody looking around. Just everybody just bow your head and close your eyes. I want to ask you tonight. I just want to ask you. Nobody looking. If you're here tonight and you know that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe you just know that. You realize that. And maybe you're kind of feeling like that maybe you need Jesus in your life. I'm just going to ask you, right where you're sitting, just lift your hand up and put it right back down. I'm not going to call you out or come to you or anything. Just do that. I'm the only one looking. Just lift it and put it right back down. Okay? Okay? All right? Several people. Okay, everybody look up. I want you to come to the altar and pray. If you raised your hand, I really want to encourage you. Because maybe you're not used to coming to the altar and all that stuff. I just want to invite you to come. Other people are going to come to the altar and pray. So you can just come up when they come up. And I'd love to talk to you about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's stand together. This altar is open. So please come. Come now.